Welcome in, Thursday edition of the Gym Class coming your way as we take through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. Coming up, Iowa's men's non-conference basketball schedule. We will take a look at that. Also, very interesting comments from Hawkeyes offensive coordinator Greg Davis. John Cranton from Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas will join us. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some college football, as well as some Major League Baseball with John. All that coming up here on a Thursday edition of the program. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, get you ready for a local programming 4-hour block here. APC will follow us from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here this evening. And plenty to talk about, as we mentioned here, going on nationally. It is suspension day in the National Football League as well. And a nice going-away present for Johnny Manziel in Cabo today, as he was given a 4-game suspension by the National Football League. Rolando McClain of the Dallas Cowboys linebacker given a 10-game suspension. And a few more out there. A couple 1-game suspensions given out today. Some Major League Baseball in the afternoon, as you heard at the top of the hour, we'll keep you updated on. And the World Golf Championship going on at Firestone, which includes our own Zach Johnson. We will update you on what's going on over there at the South Course at Firestone in Akron, Ohio. We'll do that on the show here today. Lots of things. It's a potpourri of things today, Mark.
It is indeed, and a really nice day going on outside. I hope you enjoyed the rain overnight.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I like
it. A lot of defections in terms of the Olympics, too.
Yes, there are. And by the way, best of luck to Ruby Martin tonight, as Iowa City product will be going for a spot on the Olympic team. It's probably going to be an outside shot.
A long shot.
It is a long shot. 16 years old. Will be a junior at West High in Iowa City coming up this year. And she has a chance to make the Olympic team. She must finish top 3, right? I believe.
2 or 3. Yeah.
And she's going to be the 8th qualifier out of 8. So she'll be in an outside lane. But, hey, that's a great, great accomplishment for that young lady right now. She's ahead of the game as far as her possible Olympic career is concerned.
Yeah, 16 years old, that's pretty heady stuff. And, you know, swimming is a young person's sport unless you're Michael Phelps. I mean, this guy last night qualified for his 5th Olympics.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. He's 31. He turns 31 today, and the Olympic trials are going on over in Omaha today. Mm-hmm. The last couple of days. Interesting venue. They're right there where Creighton plays basketball. What is it now this week called? The Quest Center or something? I don't know. Whatever the case may be. But anyway, it is over there, and they actually constructed a temporary pool in the arena.
Looks nice. Watched it last night.
It's fast.
Yeah.
It's fast. And Michael Phelps is going to try he'll try to qualify in 2 more events coming up in the trials. But very interesting. And they pack people in there in Omaha. Omaha is a very underrated. They've got the College World Series going on right now, and they've got the Olympic swimming trials. It's a very underrated sports town.
I think it is, too. Yeah.
I think, because they really turn out for their sporting events, especially the College World Series. And Coastal Carolina, still on top last time I checked, 4-2 over the University of Arizona. How cool would it be for Coastal Carolina to win the NCAA championship?
Well, it's not a name school, although Coastal Carolina has been very good in baseball in recent years. But you have Florida, the number one ranked team in the country, with A.J. Puck from Washington on that team, losing 2 straight right out of the chute. Arizona, a traditional school when you think about baseball. But, yeah, it's game 3 of that best-of-3 series postponed last night because of weather, now being played right now. And Coastal Carolina leads it.
Yeah, they do. We'll keep you updated on that. Zach Johnson on the course right now as well. He is playing in the first round of, what is this one, the NEC World Championship? Is that correct, or am I wrong on this?
This would be the World Golf Championship Bridgestone.
The Bridgestone
Invitational, yeah.
Bridgestone is being played at Firestone. Are they in cahoots with one another? Yeah. I don't know how the tire things go here, but They must be in cahoots with one another.
Zach Johnson is finished with his first round. Now, this is a...
volume again.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to have a sign for you coming into the studio. Volume off.
Listening to podcasts at home, and I forget to turn down my volume. I'm sorry. Hopefully, you were the only one that heard it. But Zach is done for the day at Firestone. He was one under through 14 holes, suffered bogeys on 15, 16, and 17. So he finished his first round, two over par, 72. Right now, tied for 31st place in a field that only includes 60 players. So there's no cut in this tournament. You know, golf is good.
Golf is good, Mark.
Daniel Berger, who was in this field, teed off on one, pulled out with a shoulder injury. He'll make $50,000.
Just for hitting
one shot.
That was a $50,000
shot. This is a line your pockets tournament.
But it's a good one.
Right now, William McGirt, the leader, three-shot lead. He shot a 6-under par, 64 in the first round. Several players at minus three, including Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Rose.
Yes, and Zach, he's got some work to do, obviously. It's a very interesting golf course. This event is usually played the last week of August, just ahead of Labor Day, but it's been one of those that has been moved up due to the Olympics. And we mentioned the fact that the U.S. Olympic swimming team is being put together here over the next couple days and the prior couple days in Omaha. And we just keep hearing more and more, especially in the world of golf, some in basketball. The U.S. basketball team has been put together, but more and more people pulling out. And now that it seems like every day something worse is happening in Rio. Yesterday was, unfortunately... And I know it sounds macabre, but body parts washing up on the beach where they're going to play beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to make the Olympics go away. I'm fairly certain about that. There's just too much money involved in the Olympics for it to go away. Just take a look at the TV rights that NBC is doing nationally here in America and the others around the world. There's just too much money for it to go away, but... I got a feeling this one may... The Olympics are maybe going into a valley here right now because of what's going to happen and what has happened already in Rio.
Well, I think it's just the selection of the site. I don't think there was any foresight on the part of the International Olympic Committee in terms of Rio, not only with the Zika virus, but political unrest in Brazil. But you've seen it prevalently in golf. Many male golfers... have pulled out of the Olympics. There's a cyclist from the USA that has pulled out. Steph Curry will not play for the U.S. Olympic basketball team, and right on down the line. But it's mainly golfers who have decided not to play because of the Zika virus threat.
I know Monday, Zach Johnson at his foundation announced that Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, very much looking forward to playing in the Olympics. I talked to Ricky about that. I asked him that question, and he was still positive about it, but said, you know, for A, I haven't made the team yet, and B, you know, we'll see. And now Jordan Spieth, he was all in on Monday, and now he's kind of backing off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that he's not going to go to Rio, but saying it's not a foregone conclusion yet that he's going to go.
Jason Day's pulled out, Rory McIlroy.
Shane Lowry.
Three from Ireland.
Yep.
It's going to dilute that field, and it's a shame because it's the first time golf has been in the Olympics in 112 years. And I think golf wants to put its best foot forward to remain in the Olympics. It's guaranteed that golf will be part of the 2020 Olympics. Listen, I think golf's a different animal in terms of the Olympic Games. For years and years, golfers have not aspired to win an Olympic gold medal because it was not in the Olympics. You've got the major championships, Ryder Cups, President's Cups. This year in particular, the schedule is bunched at the end of the year. and with a couple major championships, the Ryder Cup, and now the Olympics. I guess I can understand, you know, it's not a huge priority and maybe an easier decision to blame the Zika virus threat in terms of pulling out of the Olympics. I don't know what I would do.
Well, we ask you out there. That is the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Would you take an all-expenses-paid trip to the Olympics this year in Rio? Yes or no? Be interesting to see that vote. All expenses paid. They'll get you down to Rio. No doubt Rio is a great place, especially if you are young. maybe a little bit young for us, Mark, but hey, we'd still have a good time in Rio, right? But would you chance it with the Zika virus, with everything going on down there in Rio de Janeiro right now?
You know, apart from the virus, which I think it's going to be winter, if not already, in Brazil, and the mosquito population is going to be diminished. Therefore, the threat is diminished from what I've read and heard. But there is that small chance, and I think Jason Day in particular cited, you know, he wants to have a couple more kids, and he doesn't want to go there and jeopardize his family, which I get. I think it, in terms of the golfers pulling out, I think it has as much to do with the schedule as anything else. And the fact that, you know, they never have had to consider, you know, playing for a medal versus anything else.
The Wanamaker Trophy.
Yeah.
The PGA Championship. They've got the Ryder Cup coming right after that. FedEx Cup, which is an insane amount of money. Not to say that money means more than an Olympic medal, but it's just golf never had to rank the tournaments, and I think they're being forced to rank them this year.
And I think the Olympics fall short of the major championships and the Ryder Cup.
I would agree. Now, someday it may go beyond that, but right now, as of June 30th of 2016, I think it falls behind those other things. Would you rather have a major championship or an Olympic medal? What are golf fans going to remember more? You winning the U.S. Open if you're Dustin Johnson, or winning a gold medal either in 2016 or 2020?
The answer is yes.
No, remember the U.S. Open
for either one.
Oh yeah, but I think you'll be remembered more as a U.S. Open champion.
Likely.
That's what I would go with.
Darren and I was sitting on the text line 319-366-1600. Instantly, feel free to test me on that trip. He would go.
I would go, I think. I would be careful, but I would go. It's a once-in-a-lifetime trip to go see an Olympics. Yeah, why not? You don't know how many times it's going to be in the United States. It is in South America, so it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's around the corner or anything, but I think I would probably chance it.
Mm.
Of course, I'm 50. Almost 50. Hey, before we get to the Iowa non-conference schedule here, keep on voting, by the way, at KGYMradio.com. A little bit of weather that's starting to move in from our north and west, coming down the I-380 corridor right now. Nothing severe, but some pretty good-sized storms that have gotten to the Waterloo-Cedar Falls area right now and are moving toward the southeast at a pretty good clip. Some more behind that around the Mason City area, and some more thunderstorm activity around Fort Dodge. So just keep that in mind if you have evening plans tonight. I know there's a lot of softball out there. Hopefully they'll get a lot of those in. A few of the games have already been postponed due to wet grounds from what went through last night and early this morning. We've got the non-conference men's basketball schedule for the Iowa Hawkeyes. That was announced earlier on today. And Iowa's going to be playing a lot of games, Mark, at friendly confines of Carver Hawkeye Arena, because Iowa has basically one road game, and that will be in the Big Ten ACC Challenge when they head to Notre Dame. That's basically that's the extent of the Hawkeyes' road trip this year.
I think it's a mix of gimmies and those games. This is the Hayden Fry type schedule in my mind. The gimmies, games that are toss-ups, and then some challenging games. Seton Hall is going to be a challenge. I think the in-state games are always a challenge. Iowa State and you and I going to Notre Dame is going to be no bargain whatsoever. And then you have the tournaments that Iowa's involved in. I mean, it starts with Kennesaw State, okay?
The Fighting Owls.
The Fighting Owls,
Mark,
yeah.
Of Kennesaw State from the Atlantic Sun Conference. They return leading scorer Kendrick Ray, by the way.
Savannah State.
That is the first preliminary game of the Emerald Coast Classic on November 13th. Seton Hall, November 17th. That is the Gavitt Games game. And Iowa, first meeting since 1982. And then, Mark, November 20th. The other preliminary game for the Emerald Coast Classic, the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, new member of the WAC. We were trying to figure...
Was that Pan American in one time? It wasn't Rio Grande
you're
Valley.
Right.
Yeah.
Formerly known as UT Pan American. Now University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. Very good. You get an A in WAC trivia today.
How about that?
And you get an A-plus if you can pronounce the nickname of the Texas Rio Grande Valley team. It is V. Where'd it go? It begins with a V. Now I can't find it, of course. There it is. V-A-Q.
Vaqueros.
U-E-R-O-S.
Vaqueros. I don't know.
We were trying to find it, and we couldn't find it earlier on. November 25th and 26th, after the game against the Vaqueros or whatever, Iowa goes to the Emerald Coast Classic down in Destin, Florida. They will play Virginia, very good Virginia team, in the first round, and then either Memphis or Providence in the second game. November 29th, Big Ten ACC Challenge, and then into December, Iowa will take on the University of Nebraska-Omaha, now only known as Omaha, the Movin' Mavs. From the Summit League, December 5th, Iowa will take on Stetson from the Atlantic Sun. Then December 8th will be Iowa State, and this one will be in Iowa City, correct? Yes, in Iowa City. And then December 17th, it'll be the Big Four Classic, Iowa against UNI this year. December 20th, Iowa will be at home to take on North Dakota, the Fighting Hawks against the regular Hawks. They're still will always be the Fighting Sioux to me. And of course, Adam McDermott was there from Xavier, now has left North Dakota and has gone to UNI. And December 22nd, Iowa concludes the non-conference schedule with the MEAC Delaware State team, the Hornets, will be at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
So, what do you think about it?
It's okay. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a very Hayden Fry-esque non-conference schedule. You got a few toughies in there. You know, I was going to get credit because there's no middle ground in this, basically. It's, you're playing either the top echelon or the kind of the bottom echelon in this thing. There's no middle ground in this schedule. Iowa State, UNI, I think you can lump them together with Seton Hall, Notre Dame, and, of course, Virginia, and then it'll either be Memphis in there or Providence. So
those are three good foes.
Iowa's got five good games. But then there's Kennesaw State in there, despite the fact that Kendrick Ray will be back, the leading scorer for the Fighting Owls on November the 11th. So there you go. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment about the Hawkeye men's basketball non-conference slate.
6598 and 7011 on the text line believe that is the Mexican word for cowboy.
I believe
Vuaro.
You.
Vaquaro.
Vuaro?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Vaquero. Well, it's a cool nickname, by the way. It is a cool
Certainly
nickname.
Certainly unique. Yeah.
And it's unique, and I like it. I like it. We'll find out before they come to Iowa City. That's for sure. We're going to talk to John Krant coming up here in just a moment. Greg Davis had some very interesting things to say. We will get to that toward the back half of the program as well. Afternoon baseball going on. Zach is in the clubhouse at the first round of the Bridgestone Invitational World Golf Championship. Over in Akron, Ohio, and a lot of things to get to here in the program, but we'll come back and talk with John Cranton right after this. You're listening to the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn with you. Stay tuned. More to come right after this.
Come to McGrath Power Sports Bike Week now through Saturday. Bikes, demos, food, live music, and more. Tonight, bring your vintage apparel and your bike for Vintage Bike Night. Things end with a bang during the Born on the 4th of July Victory Anniversary Blowout tomorrow and Saturday. Bike Week continues through Saturday at McGrath Power Sports, Center Point Road in Cedar Rapids. Victory and Victory Motorcycles are registered trademarks of Polaris Industries, Inc. Always wear a helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing, and obey the speed limit. Never ride under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Hello, spring. Goodbye, smooth ride. When Old Man Winter has his way with the highways have their way with your steering and suspension. Now you've got a choice. Overcorrect and hold on tight, or clear your Saturday for a weekend in the garage with quality Moog parts from your neighborhood Advance Auto Parts. You can also buy tried and true Moog parts online and pick them up at your local store just 30 minutes later. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Celebrate summer in style with great July 4th deals happening right now at Lowe's. Hurry into your neighborhood store today to save big on everything you'll need, like $10 to $40 off select paint and primer, stain and sealants, and resurfacers via rebate. Plus, get a Harbor Breeze Echo Lake indoor and outdoor ceiling fan for only $74.98. Don't miss out on summer's best savings happening right now at Lowe's. Paint offer valid 6/22 through 7/6. $10 to $40 off select size cans via rebate. Ceiling fan offer valid 6/29 through 7/6. While supplies last, exclusion supply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you at 325 here on the Thursday edition of The Gym Class, KGYM. It's down to the final out of the College World Series, Coastal Carolina. It needs one more out in Arizona, making it very interesting. They have the tying run on at first base. That in the final inning going on right now. So we'll keep you updated on that if the Chanticleers win their first College World Series championship.
A lot of nerves, Johnny.
There are a lot of nerves. A few texts to take care of before we get to John Cranton.
You bet. Subjects we've talked about previously today, we mentioned the nickname of Texas Rio Grande is Vuaro.
Vuaro.
All right. Colin at 2380 in regards to going to the Olympics versus playing in a major. Don't forget the financial and card implications of winning a major over the Olympic medal 10-year exemption.
That's big.
In terms of the Bridgestone Invitational being played at Firestone, 1692, Bridgestone owns Firestone.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I didn't know the tire hierarchy.
Bob and Amanda, in regards to Michael Phelps' fifth Olympic appearance. So he was 11 when first qualifying. I'm not good at math. Michael Phelps' first Olympics was in 2000. He's 31. That would have made him 15 at the time.
Okay. Still very good to get there at that age.
The best ever.
Best Olympian ever. Most decorated Olympian ever as well. And we will keep you updated if Coastal Carolina can get this College World Series and get one more out, but we want to bring in John Cranton now from Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas, at Jim Feist Sports on Twitter. That is their handle out there. And he joins us one final time here before he goes on a sojourn here for most of the month of July. He'll rejoin us coming up that final Thursday in the month of July. You all packed? You ready to go, John?
I am packed, yeah, and it's going to be unseasonably warm where I am now to where I'm going, from 110 degrees to 75, so I'm going to pack a parka and a snowsuit.
It's not that bad, is it? It's not going to be that cold.
No, I know. It's similar to the climate where you are there, so it'll be perfect. Incidentally, the pronunciation of that is vaquero.
Vaquero. Thank you, John.
Sí, señor. Yes, it is a cowboy, correct?
Vaquero.
Spanish cowboy, correct?
Yeah, they call it cowboy or herdsman. I mean, what would you rather be?
Cowboy. Darn right.
Exactly, yes.
I want to be a cowboy.
Claro, senor.
Let's look at a couple baseball games tonight, John, on the docket. The Cubs and Mets begin a series, and each of them had some injury issues, some bumps in the road. But what are your thoughts on this one in New York?
I still think they're the best team in baseball. Yeah, 4-6 run, but they certainly got well this week when placing the Reds, who can't pitch. They swept them 27-12, shellacking in the three games. So you look at the overall numbers of the Cubs. What's not to like? Third in baseball and run scored, second in on base percentage, 10th in slugging, Oh, yeah, they're number one in pitching, too. So don't worry about these little bumps in the road, this team. As long as they can stay healthy, they are really loaded. And even the trading deadline coming up, hey, they might even add some talent, too. They certainly have the chance. The guy going tonight, a nice veteran pitcher they picked up in John Lackey, 37 years old, but he's pitched very well for them, 3.29 ERA, opponents hitting under 220 off him. Now, his last two games, he actually hasn't been very good. He's stumbled the last two, 10 innings pitched, 10 runs, 14 hits. Yeah, that's not going to cut it. But, again, that's some bumps in the road. I wouldn't worry about him. He's a veteran. He throws strikes. He doesn't get into trouble. The thing that really stands out about Lackey it's fascinating. You see this a lot with pitchers, and it's always a mind-boggling at times, is the home road breakdown on some of these guys. And Lackey is one of them. I mean, this season he's been great at home, 2.01 ERA, 4-2. You know, that's Wrigley Field, a small park tough to pitch in. But on the road, 4.59 ERA. And if you take that one step further, look at the last 4 years, 26-12 home record. He's been with Boston and St. Louis and Chicago, 2.31 ERA. But on the road with those teams, 18-25 record, 4.45 ERA. It's very strange how that can happen with pitchers. But here he is on the road. The break here is that, well, he's facing a pretty good Mets team, but they're on a slide right now. They've lost four straight, 1-5 record. And they come off a big series with Washington in the NL East. Boy, did they look terrible. They got outscored 20-6 as they got swept. They are the number two team in baseball in pitching, so these are the number one and two teams with pitching. We know their pitching is great, but the catch here is their offense is just horrendous. This is a team that's going to be making some trades soon for some bats, because how could you waste all this great pitching and not upgrade the offense? So they're number 28th in runs scored. I can see John Lackey getting very healthy in a hurry here against a team like this. The guy that the Mets are sending on the mound tonight, Steve Matz, he's one of their 25-year-old great arms that they have. But the thing about him is he skipped a start. He hasn't pitched for 2 weeks because he had some tightness in his elbow. And, you know, when that comes up, well, that's a red flag. You really want to look at backing somebody who maybe won't go four or five innings or maybe has elbow problems. So I'm going to stay away from the Mets here. And I agree with the Cubs going from a minus 120 favorite to 140, and the way the Mets are hitting and playing right now, I don't want any part of them. I think the Cubs continue their nice hot streak this week.
Other game, Royals and the Cardinals going at it. They've had a good series. The Royals lost Lorenzo Cain, though. He had to go on the disabled list with a leg injury, and Royals, man, they've been a roller coaster ride all this year, up and down and up and down, and it's been a very interesting series.
Yeah, you're right. The streaky Royals is what I call them. Not consistent like they were a year ago. The talent is there, but they're still having some trouble scoring runs. And you know, the last couple of games, 3-5 run, 11-14 if you go back last month, and they've really struggled on the road. The pitching is good enough in the middle of the pack, but this offense just hasn't got going, sitting at 25th in baseball in runs scored. They did come off that nice win in the extra innings last night, 3-2, a win that they needed against a rivalry, area rivalry game. And for tonight, they got a veteran on the mound, Chris Young, but boy, has he struggled. 2-7 record, 6.54 ERA. And he's been awful on the road, 0-5 record, 9.70 ERA. His last game was just a train wreck, 13-5 to Houston, only two-plus innings, and he gave up 7 hits and 7 runs. So he's never been a fast fastball pitcher, but boy, at his age, now he's throwing soft and he's been getting hit. And that's a tough situation to face a Cardinals team that has been struggling of late. They had some trouble on the road after a nice hot streak, 5-9 run overall. They've actually been bad in interleague games. We saw a loss last night. That's part of a 2-9 interleague road run. But what's disturbing about the Cardinals, and this team was so dominant, three-time NL Central champs, dominant at home last year, 55-26, and they have a losing record at home this season. They just haven't been able to get it going. They've actually been better on the road, which is surprising. The offense has, well, overall it's been great. They've had a tough week, including last night, where they got 10 hits in 12 innings with only 2 runs. But overall, it's number 3 in baseball in run score. They're top 5 in slugging and on-base percentage. And the pitching is pretty good, too, ranked 12th. So they have the stuff to go on a nice second-half run here. We're going to see another veteran, Mike Leake, although he's only 28 years old. 5-5 record. He's kind of got middling numbers with a 4.25 ERA. But he does throw strikes, and he does win. The team is 6-4 the last 10. When I look at the head-to-head matchups between these two area rivalries, that's what really stands out for me. These teams play low-scoring defensive games, 9-2-4 under the Vegas total. And here for tonight's game, total of anywhere from 9 to 8.5. We got the Cardinals as a 165 favorite, but I think what we saw last night, 12 innings, a 3-2 final, and those numbers, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see another low-scoring game tonight. So I'll take a look at a 4-3 final either way with the bullpens getting involved, but I'm not going to look for a high-scoring battle with these teams.
This is largely NFC North country, John, in the NFL, and you've let us know that you have a bit of a preview there on that division.
Sure, we do. Yeah, we have. It's a division that the Packers have dominated until last season when they were upset in that finale at home by Minnesota. And what the Vegas odds have is they're looking at a 1-2 race this year. You get the Packers 5-9, so they're a significant favorite to win the division. And but the Vikings are right there at 3-2, roughly even money. And then you got the Bears and the Lions are roughly about 8-1. So those are the two teams. I'll start with the Packers. They're actually 11-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Vegas over-under win total is 11. They only got 10 wins last year, and what was really surprising about them was how down the offense was. Now, it's hard to say that when Aaron Rodgers threw 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He was sensational. But they finished number 25th in total yards and 25th in passing yards. Imagine that, a team with Aaron Rodgers that below average. Well, remember what happened last year with Jordy Nelson. Lost him in preseason, and it probably had to have a significant difference. So for this season, you still got Randall Cobb, who's a speedster, coming back. Got to believe Jordy Nelson is healthy. And then they pick up a tight end in Jared Cook. So it's pretty clear what Green Bay is trying to do. They're trying to diversify the offense more, give Rodgers a little more weapons and flexibility. And I think that's a good thing for any quarterback. And with Rodgers, it's deadly. Even with that limited number guys to throw to last year, he put up phenomenal numbers. So they should be the team to beat. It's kind of a high win total for a competitive division. And the defense, which was in the middle of the pack, they took the nose tackle from Kenny Clark in the first round. And that's really a concern because the defense was kind of below average. Then you got the Vikings, the team that went to Green Bay in the finale, won that game 20-13. And that's really the style of the Vikings. Smash mouth, physical play, particularly on defense under Mike Zimmer. They're not into high-scoring passing games. They're content to run and ball control. And, hey, they won at Lambeau Field in a defensive game in the cold. So you can't knock the strategy that they're doing. The one problem I have is that the offense of the Vikings, it's kind of predictable because they don't look to throw. 29th in the league in passing, and they were 4th in rushing. So it's pretty clear it's going to be Adrian Peterson, the focal point of the offense. Again, almost 1,500 yards rushing last year. And then the quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, they're very high on him. A lot of people that I've talked to are kind of still have question marks about him. He's only 23 years old, and he had 14 touchdowns, 9 picks. Pretty good for a young quarterback, but 44 sacks. And the way to look at that is, while he doesn't want to take turnovers, so he'll do, you know, something like Alex Smith, do the smart thing. On the other hand, is the NFL game too quick for him? So that remains to be seen, but it's still going to be a run-oriented physical defensive team. And yeah, they're capable of giving the Packers run. The Bears, well, we have them at 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Vegas over-under win total is 7, and they're rebuilding under the coaching staff. 6-10 last year, but what really stood out, 1-7 at home. Boy, how could the Bears do that with their fans and their sellout and their passion for the game? And when you look at the overall numbers, bottom 10 in offense and passing, and defense too is kind of middling. So they are retooling and rebuilding. On the plus side, you get Jay Cutler, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He's an above-average quarterback. But the running game, Langford, just 3.6 yards per carry. It's pretty clear they've got to do some work on the offensive line. And then the defense too. They took Leonard Floyd out of Georgia with a 9th overall pick. He's going to help along with Danny Trevathan, who they got from the defending champion Broncos. On the other hand, even with these two guys, they're still short on some depth and defensive star power. So this team is still rebuilding. I can see them getting around the 7 or 8 win mark over this number, but division title, can't quite see that yet. And then there's the Lions. Boy, it's just a tough team. 6 wins last year. They really didn't do much right at all. Last in the NFL in rushing, it was all Matt Stafford, 32 touchdowns, 13 picks. Oh, he loses his star wide receiver, Calvin Johnson, and you got a defense that was below average in yards and points. They are rebuilding even more than the Bears are. I don't want any part of a team that can't run and can't block anybody. They did take the Ohio State offensive tackle, Taylor Decker, to help that, but still, you got a team that's going to play 3 of its first 4 on the road at the Colts, the Packers, and the Bears, so very difficult time for them. I think it's a 1-2 race between Green Bay and the Vikings, but the way the Vikings are built, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win this division title again. So those are the two teams that should get over 10 wins.
338, John Krant joining us on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. The Coastal Carolina Chanticleers are your baseball national champion. How about that?
First championship in any sport for that school.
Let's hear it for them. As they mentioned on the television, what a great call. They rule the roost. I like that. John, sticking with the NFL, you gave us the odds for the lines anyway for the first week, Sunday, September the 11th. That will be the first Sunday of football. Of course, there's a Thursday night game. The Broncos are a three-point favorite at home as they open up in defense of their championship, the rematch of the Super Bowl against Carolina. Some very interesting numbers here on the board. You mentioned the Bears. They're a six-point road dog at Houston. The biggest favorite would be the Seattle Seahawks. They are, they and Philadelphia. Seattle is at home to Miami. They got to make a cross-country trip on week number one. And then Philadelphia is an 8.5-point pick over the Cleveland Browns. RG3 could be the quarterback of Cleveland. We know it won't be Manziel. He's got a four-game suspension, even if he is with Cleveland again, to worry about. But, other than that, there's one pick'em and couple one-point games. Other than that, you got 3, 4, 5, 6s, and 7s. So it's not a lot of close lines, at least in that first Sunday.
No, and there's been some line movement on the games. The opener there you mentioned, Carolina-Denver, that's actually shifted. Now Carolina is the favorite of 2.5, and it's because of all the off-season that Denver has had. The Colts line, too, just moved recently because what Andrew Luck signed that big contract. Now it's up to 6. It went from 4 to 6, and I got to believe that's the only reason they're playing the Lions. That Bears-Texans game is interesting. It's you have to be careful this week one when looking at favorites because a lot of changes in personnel and coaching staff, not just head coaches, but assistant coaches, too. The Patriots, for example, brought back an offensive line coach who has been there for 25 years, and he was brilliant. However, he retired the last 2 years, and you saw how bad they were in the offensive line. Well, that is something significant, and that's a minor coach. And here we have the Bears playing at the Texans. You know, what are we going to see out of Houston? Should they be this big a favorite, even against the rebuilding Bears? We don't know what the quarterback play for Houston is going to be. They threw all that money at Osweiler, but he was, you know, up and down with Denver last year. He could move them in the middle of the field, but when they got to the red zone, they didn't really put it in the end zone much, which is why they went back to Manning. So, and plus, he's got to learn a new system, new playbook, new receivers, and that's another aspect of week one football. A lot of the shop guys, they look at dogs, and they look at lower scoring games because it can take a while for some of these offensive end quarterbacks to get in sync.
Despite the line movement, I'll still take Carolina, John.
Carolina is going to crush who? Oh, Denver. What do you like, the matchup with the quarterback, or do you like the revenge thing?
I think the revenge and Cam Newton, I think, is going to have a huge year. I like their defense as well.
I can see there'll be good weather there in Denver. Denver has a tremendous home field. The one I like, I still can't believe that Green Bay is just 4 at Jacksonville. I did look up some Jacksonville numbers, and I was stunned at how good Blake Bortles was as far as passing and running. I didn't think much about him last year because Jacksonville's been so bad, but he's improved, and they have upgraded the offense. But still, I kind of like what Green Bay has done, too, on offense.
Yeah, that Arizona-New England game is pretty intriguing to me as well.
Yeah, that opened was a 1 on Arizona, but now I notice in Vegas they're actually taking it off the board at pretty much every place, and it's because the Goodell factor is going to be Garoppolo or Brady, so they don't want to get caught taking money on the wrong side and then watch Arizona jump to about a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, college football to talk about before we let you go here, John. College football games of the year, and this will be when we talk with you next time. We're going to be almost into the football season. Camps will be underway, etc. The top games from each week. Now, the one that just not only jumped out at me but screamed at me was Saturday, September 17th. Ohio State goes to Norman to take on Oklahoma. Big game Bobby's a 9-point favorite over the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I don't see that. I will you give me almost 10 and Urban Meyer, I will take that.
You know, that's the same thing I had when I saw that. Am I reading this right? Oklahoma, a 9-point favorite. And yeah, there's a couple reasons for that. One is Bob Stoops really has one of the most talented teams he's had in a long while. And what they did with the offense, with the new offensive coordinator, they were just a juggernaut. On the other hand, you're right. You're talking Urban Meyer and the, Ohio State. He's not an ordinary coach where they lose so many players. And if you watch the NFL draft, it was really an Ohio State buffet with all the guys they lost, where they got three starters back on offense. That's really the big thing with this is Ohio State's offense is a huge question mark because of all the guys they lost. But on the other hand, when he was at Florida, he had NFL caliber talent in number 3, 4, and 5 depth charts. Why wouldn't he have it here again? And I agree with you. Ohio State is that big a road favorite. Boy, going against Meyer, who's terrific as an underdog, yeah, that does seem exceptionally high.
We'll see how the early season pans out, John, but I look at Saturday, October 15th. The Tennessee folks are hopeful of a big, big season. They get Alabama at home, and right now they're an underdog.
Yeah, I looked at all the Alabama ones on this sheet, and it really surprised me. I thought Bama would be getting more respect with the powerhouse and the defending champs, and there's a game where Alabama's only 3.5-point favorite at Tennessee. Boy, I mean, you know what you're going to get out of Bama with Saban, and then Tennessee, a young team that Butch Jones has been amassing tremendous talent, but their defense last year was bad, and it was suspect the year before, so they should, on paper, be much improved, and they're going to be sky-high for this game. But we really haven't seen it in big games either, so that's one that I would be very cautious about going against the defending champs on that. The other game with Bama that struck me was Alabama at LSU November 5th. There's the defending champs as an underdog of 3, and I think it's a good line because LSU was loaded too, but when I first saw it, I thought, wow, how often do you see Bama a dog?
Mm. Yeah, some interesting games there, really, that jump out. Pitt, Penn State. That kind of jumps out on September the 10th. Pitt's a 9-point favorite over a Penn State team. That's a little surprising to me, too. But
Rivalry game, yeah. I don't remember what last year's score was, but both are kind of rebuilding.
Well, I think
it should be like 3 or something.
Yeah, I don't think they've played for quite a while, as far as that is concerned. They used to play every year, but they haven't done it in a while, and it's going to, I think, yeah, 9 in a rivalry game? I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, there's another Ohio State and then the Michigan State-Notre Dame game coming up. Michigan State is always good under this coach, and here's Notre Dame, a 6-point favorite. Boy, that seems like a field goal game all the way and a defensive battle. Quite a few interesting ones in these early lines.
Yeah. John, you got a free play for tonight. Tell us about it, and then talk about what you guys got going at jimfeist.com.
Sure, we broke down that Cubs-Mets game. I don't want any part of the Mets, especially with a pitcher with a potentially sore elbow here. I'll take the best team in baseball, Chicago Cubs, tonight. And if you're looking to check out NFL previews, Jim Feist and Dave Kolkin are doing them 3 a week. You can go to ProLineTV.com, which is on YouTube, or you can go to JimFeist.com. Plus, he has free stats and free picks. All that and more at JimFeist.com.
All right. Hey, have a great vacation, and we will talk to you here in a few weeks down the line, all right?
Sounds good. I'm ready for football now, gentlemen.
We are all ready for football.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. 3:47 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. John Cranton joins us on Thursdays, although we will next talk with him on July the 28th. We'll take a break, come back, and have more for you, including some very interesting comments from Iowa offensive coordinator Greg Davis, and we'll get to it after this.
You know, my dad always told me, be proud of where you're from. So when it was time to start my business, I looked no further than right here in the town where I grew up.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com helps local businesses by helping them find their next great employee.
I mean, the people who live here, they're my neighbors. I know them. I trust them.
At Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com, it's easier than ever to post your job and start getting applicants instantly.
You know, without my hometown, my business just wouldn't be the same. And I think it works both ways.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Attention, all car drivers and passengers. Are you wearing your seatbelt? Cops aren't just cracking down for the fun of it. Wearing a seatbelt is a serious issue. For the first time in 5 years, fatalities for unrestrained passenger vehicle occupants have gone up. Because of these fatalities, cops are stepping up enforcement and cracking down on those who don't wear their seatbelts. Officers are trained to spot seatbelt violations both day and night. Just because it's dark, don't think that they won't be able to spot unbelted drivers. Flick it or ticket. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
It's fun to splurge on nice things, but it's better to get those same nice things at a great value. Like a Honda certified pre-owned vehicle, the best certified pre-owned value in America, and backed by a limited warranty. Let Honda certified pre-owned take you farther. Visit HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory. Honda, start something special.
Based on 2015 Vincentric Best CPO Value in America Awards analysis applicable to 2011 to 2015 Honda model years. See dealer for limited warranty details.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flow.
You find yourself lying on a beach, feeling warm sand sink between your toes. You ask a passing seagull how you achieved this bliss. Saving money, the seagull whispers, by bundling your auto and motorcycle insurance. You thank the seagull. He steals your sandwich.
Ascend to a higher plane of insurance. Bundle your policies and save with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
This is the sound of everyday engine threats like gunk, wear, and corrosion, unleashing their wrath on your engine. Now, this is the sound of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, providing the best total engine protection you can get. Period. Think all premium fuels are the same? Think again. Choose Shell V-Power Nitro Plus today.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team swept Waterloo East in a Mississippi Valley Conference doubleheader on Monday, winning each game by identical 12-0 scores. Bryce Sharper had five RBIs in the sweep. The Saints then traveled to Des Moines to meet West Des Moines Dowling and fell 2-0. Xavier will host Dubuque Wallert at home this Friday in a conference doubleheader starting at 5. The Xavier softball team had a good week with a pair of conference doubleheader sweeps. Last Thursday, Xavier beat Cedar Falls twice. Maria Steffen threw a three-hitter to get the win, and Hannah Helms and Olivia Richards combined to drive in seven runs in the nightcap. The Saints then swept Washington on Tuesday, 11-1 and 12-4. Also over the weekend, the Saints split four games at the Linmar Albertette Tournament. Xavier meets Kennedy on Thursday in a conference doubleheader.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
The 4,000 ASE-certified technicians of Firestone Complete Auto Care prove a tool's only as good as the hands behind it. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, you can get an additional 10% off on any service. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid June 27th through July 3rd. Save an additional 10% off our current lowest advertised price. Offer excludes tires and gift cards. Offer cannot be combined with other discount programs. Not to be used to reduce outstanding debt. Offer void where prohibited. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
Coming up tomorrow, we will be here in studio for the month of July on Fridays, and we will have a topic for you to discuss and discuss with us coming up tomorrow. We'll let you know what that is here in just a little bit. Coastal Carolina, Chanticleers are the NCAA Division I College Baseball National Champions. First time for any sport for Coastal Carolina as they win it 4-3 over Arizona today. That one over in Omaha. Coming up in the APC, they're going to have a giveaway for a $30 gift certificate. La Cantina with the APC. Todd and Tyler will have your chance to win that sometime between 4 and 7. You don't have to go to Mexico for a great margarita. Hit the patio for 2-for-1 happy hour at 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock Mondays through Saturdays at all day on Sunday at either location, downtown CR or in Marion behind CBS. LaCantina319.com. That is their website. Be sure to check it out.
Reminder, the Freedom Festival is going on right now. Tons of activities going on around the quarter. Tomorrow night, movie night at the ballpark. The movie starting at 7 o'clock. Grab your blankets and head to Veterans Memorial Stadium. Enjoy the movie Sandlot. Gates open at 6 p.m. It's free with a Freedom Festival button. Kids 8 and under do not need a button.
Don't need a button. Go out. Sandlot's a great, great movie. Greg Davis made some waves today, Mark, on a program in Central Iowa. The Iowa offensive coordinator came out and said that C.J. Beathard is quarterback for his senior season coming up this fall in 2016. Can be his best quarterback that he has ever coached. I know, I believe APC will talk about this as well coming up, but Greg Davis says that the Hawk senior has the potential to surpass greats that he has coached in the past, which include Colt McCoy, And maybe some people think the best quarterback to ever play the game of college football, at least in recent years, and that would be Vince Young. is this coach speak in the opposite direction? Is it just get confidence up for his senior quarterback? Or I don't know. Is that the thing to say a couple months before the season?
Well, I don't know if it's exactly the equivalent of Hayden Fry saying Chuck Long is destined for greatness.
Corny Robertson's going to be in the NFL?
When he was freshman or sophomore, I don't know. But that was a proclamation that I couldn't believe at the time. But Chuck Long proved Hayden Fry right. He was a great college football quarterback. Whether C.J. Beathard proves to be the same, I don't know. He's got 1 year as a starting quarterback. It was a decent one at that, but you start comparing what Beathard could be to Vince Young in particular, and then Colt McCoy, Major Applewhite, all three of them Big 12 Offensive Players of the Year.
I believe he coached Gary Kubiak back in the day as well. Chris pretty good quarterback.
Chris Sims was a pretty good quarterback at Texas, the Davis coach. So at a minimum, let's just say Greg Davis thinks highly of C.J. Beathard.
We should maybe pump the brakes a little bit on this. You're always going to say good things about your players. I mean, this is not anything new or anything like that. But this is a pretty bold statement out there for a guy that coached Vince Young.
And has coached 38 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think C.J. Beathard has the ability to be a very good quarterback. Am I going to put him up there with Vince Young at this point? I don't know about that. Does that get Iowa fans overconfident, though?
If he has a Vince Young-like year, Iowa's going to have a hell of a season.
Yeah, they are. Might go back-to-back 12-0 in the regular season. But that's very interesting to say. And he said it in a public forum as well. He didn't hold back. This wasn't at, you know, the Tama County I Club. Nothing against Tama County. Mm. We love Tama County. Or whatever county you pick out. You know, this was on the public airwaves here that he said it. So very interesting that he would go out there and put his quarterback under a little bit of a microscope like that. There is one warning that is up in north central Iowa. Again, this rain is moving down 380 here and then tailing back toward the Fort Dodge area, right around the Iowa Falls area right now, just to the north and west of Marshalltown. There is a severe thunderstorm warning. Todd and Tyler will keep you updated if we do need to break in as far as weather information for you is concerned. Topic coming up tomorrow, Mark, and with football around the corner, I'm just tired of hearing the NBA, so I want to talk some football tomorrow, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We may do this with all three of the universities, but we're going to start with the Hawkeyes tomorrow. If you had a chance to put together your all-time team for the Iowa Hawkeyes made up of State of Iowa players, what would it be? You can go through position by position. You can give a whole team, whatever the case may be. But we're gonna take phone calls and texts about that coming up.
Should
tomorrow.
Be a lot of fun. Yeah.
I just in last night jotted a few things down, and I got a team that can win a few games. Man, made up of State of Iowa kids.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
So your top State of Iowa kids that have played for the Iowa Hawkeyes over the years, who would your top team be? Try to figure out tight end depth chart, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to let you know about that right now, because you threw out a few of those today. It's going to be tough to get that down to a depth chart of three right there. That'll be tomorrow. We'll join you at 3 o'clock from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Todd and Tyler are coming up next. We'll have a $30 gift card from La Cantina giveaway. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 3 with another edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent